This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Through education, motivation, and implementation, we will bridge the gap between knowing and doing so we can master fat loss naturally and help you reach your highest potential. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and you are in for a really special treat today. And that's because I am going to be talking to a client of mine on the podcast today, and she's pretty incredible. So she had lost 80 pounds, but still really felt unhappy, still felt stressed about food and really obsessing over good choices or not so good choices, really felt like after losing that much weight, she would be happier, but she wasn't. And she is going to share with you this concept that honestly, if you had said this to me a couple years ago, I wouldn't have understood. I wouldn't have thought it was possible for me. And that is freedom. Not stressing about food choices, not loading in all of this emotion related to the choices you make. I know for me, I used to define my days based on if I ate well or not, according to my assessment, right? If I made good food choices, it was a good day. If I made bad food choices, it was a bad day. And my emotions were largely dictated by whether or not I worked out, whether or not I overindulged. And so Amanda, who's going to be on the show today, when I ask her what has changed for her recently, the word that keeps coming up again and again is freedom. And that is something that she wasn't able to get from all of these diets and even from past weight loss. But what is this idea of freedom? What does it mean? How do you get it? Is it even possible? And I will tell you this, for Amanda, it was certainly possible. For me, it was certainly possible, but I understand if you're not sure if that's possible for you, not constantly being stressed and worried and anxious about food, guilty over every single choice you make or don't make. She talks about when things started to get easier because the day wasn't good or bad because of the food, because she understood that no matter what choice she made, the next one was a totally blank slate. So I'm super excited for you to hear from Amanda. Before we dive in, I want to remind you that on December 13th and 14th, that is a Tuesday and a Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm hosting a totally free webinar talking about how to lose weight for the last time, how to get out of the cycle of trying and giving up, doing the work and then doing it over again because at some point you stop and you gain weight or you lose your footing. Let's end that cycle. I'll be talking about how. I'll be there live. I'll answer all your questions. I won't leave until the last question is answered. You can grab your spot. It's totally free by going to primalpotential.com/December. primalpotential.com/December, or just go to the show notes for this episode. And also while you're there, you'll find a transcript from today's episode in case you find that helpful, because Amanda's got a lot of great things to share. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy hearing some of Amanda's story. All right, so I am here with Amanda. Amanda is one of my fat loss fast track rookies. And basically what that means is it's her first time through the fat loss fast track. So there are a couple of different levels when I do these groups. And your first time through, when we're building the foundation, when we're establishing sort of the nuts and the bolts, how to journal, why to journal, the way we talk to ourselves, setting goals and expectations, and then the fundamentals like the golden rules of carbs and fat loss. All that happens in the first 12-week cycle. And as of when we're recording this, we are almost wrapping up week 9 of Amanda's first time through the Fat Loss Fast Track. And when I said to them, you know, I'd love to do a little bit of real-time coaching on the podcast, talk about what's going well for you, talk about where you're still finding yourself challenged or struggling a little bit,
Amanda was like, I'm in, I'm ready, let's do this. And so I'm super, super, super glad that she was willing and open to share a part of her journey with all of us because, you know, sometimes you can't relate to me and my story, but maybe you can relate to something in Amanda's story. So thank you so much, Amanda, for being here. It means so much to me.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I am too. I am too. So tell me a little bit about you're about to wrap up. We've got about 3+ weeks left in your first fat loss fast track. What was it that made you say, I want to do this? Because it's a commitment. It's a commitment of time. It's a commitment of money. What is it that made you say, I think I'm going to give this a shot?
Oh, goodness. It actually was a long thought process in a way because I have truly, honestly spent so much money on my diet and losing weight and all this stuff. So it was really hard for me because I started to listen to your podcast over the summer and I fell in love and I was like, wow, I can really relate to a lot of these things. I think I'm in the wrong direction of what I'm looking for because I had lost 80+ pounds. I had reached goal. But I truly was so unhappy with the way that I looked, the way that I was relating to food and everything. But when I was listening to your podcast, I was like, oh, goodness, I think I'm really looking at this the wrong way. Mm. So then I was like, okay, let me see if I can do the fat loss fast track. And then I looked at the cost and my financial situation. And I was like, oh goodness, is this going to be another one of those things that I start, I do, and I do it for a week and then I don't listen to you anymore. And then I'm like, in the last two weeks or three weeks, am I going to be like trying to play catch up on everything that I missed?
Sounds because, like you've experienced that before.
Yes, because that's how things went. And so I was really nervous and I reached out to you and I was like, I really don't know what to do. And I'm not surprised now, but I got a voice message back right away saying, you have to make that decision. Mm. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. So I said, I thought about it and I was like, no, I really need to do this. I need to find a way. Mm-hmm. And I borrowed money from Peter to pay Paul and figured it out. And I cannot be more thankful. And it's so surprising how we're on week 9. How did we get to week 9?
It flies by, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I feel like just yesterday I was listening to the very first one and I was like, I cannot believe we're in week 9.
I know.
It's crazy.
One of the things you said when you emailed me, when I reached out to you guys and said, hey, does anybody want to do a little bit of like real-time coaching on the podcast and talk about your experience? One of the things you said was that the past 9 weeks has changed you, it's changed your family, it's changed your marriage, and you came from a place where you had already done every diet in the world, and I think in your email you said you had spent enough money to have like bought a car by now.
I could be driving a nice car. Not that I don't, but I could be buying even a nicer car.
Right. Well, you said you had been looking at it the wrong way. Like, what do you think was different about your perspective before the fat loss fast track that you felt like was the wrong way versus how you're seeing things now?
I truly feel like I have found freedom. Mm. And I think that even my family now has found freedom. The way that I react to different situations has changed, honestly, how much. And it sounds so crazy because here I was joining this for fat loss and all that. And now I'm like saying that I found freedom in my house and my kids and even my husband. And just the way that I react to things is just so, so different. It just really is so eye-opening about how you send things out or your thoughts really do come back to you. And it's so important to be positive, or not only that, but to believe that you can do this.
Right.
And so that was really what changed in this whole process so far. I think it's like every Sunday waking up on Christmas morning to open up your email and to see what we're going to do next this week. And not every week is easy. And I don't think any week has been easy. really. But just the whole outlook on everything, it's like I definitely have been freed from it and freed from my thoughts of what I thought I wanted and needed. But I don't.
Well, let me dive into that to better understand it. So It's interesting that, so just so everybody else knows, on Sunday, we get a weekly challenge. There's one focus for the week. And so that's what you're referring to. And you say you look forward to waking up on Sunday morning. It's interesting that you say that none of the challenges have been easy, and yet you've found freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So What does that really mean to you? Let me ask you a pointed question. Has the way you look at food changed? Because I'm hearing that a lot of the way you think has changed, but has it impacted the way you think about food? Because when you say it changed what I thought I wanted, tell me more about what that means and what specifically has changed for you.
Absolutely about food. I truly can eat something now and it is just food.
Mm.
I don't have emotion attached to that food anymore. I don't have guilt about food anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have guilt about it at all. Like that's the freedom of the food part. It's mm-hmm. really, even if I do exercise that day or don't exercise, I don't have that
emotional burden
of, yes, that, oh, I didn't go do it today. Yes. Is it a choice that I did it? I now own my choices and accept my choices. And I love every single one of them, whether it is going to get me to that goal of, if I don't work out, let's say, and I know that, well, look, I'm going to be doing something else, or mm-hmm. I'm replacing it with this, but I'm not feeling guilty about it. And mm-hmm. then I also know that there's a chance to start over any second.
That's right.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
And it's not that I now skip workouts. I don't. That's not what I'm saying either. But you know what I mean? Like, I really, truly let myself let go of all those negative things that I told myself that if I didn't do it, and then I didn't love it, you know? So it's really come to a sense of that I've let go of so much anxiety over it. It's really crazy.
I bet that there are some people listening who the idea of not being guilty over what they eat or feeling that guilt or shame scares them because they think that if they don't feel bad about it, that it'll be a free-for-all. I know there was a time that if you told me, oh, eat the ice cream and don't feel guilty, that I would equate that with, so I can eat all the ice cream forever and ever and ever and it's okay. But I know that's not what you mean. For you.
Right, that is so the opposite.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't eat the ice cream, and I don't skip the workout because I truly, truly don't have that emotion to it.
Exactly, it's not this emotional tug of war. Yeah, I think for so many people, they equate a day as either, they define it as either good or bad based on if they made good food choices or bad food choices. They made good workout choices or bad workout choices. And then there's always this punishment reward notion of food, which is what screws us all up. So if I'm understanding you correctly, and totally tell me if I'm wrong, when you let go of that punishment reward association, you just do what makes you feel your best, which is rarely the ice cream, the cookies, the skipping workouts.
It truly is. It is so, that's when it became easier to say. Once I gave up the emotion to those things I no longer were connected to that I felt like I needed to have them.
They truly
just freed me of that. And then all of a sudden, all my nighttime eating used to be, it was horrendous. It was really, my journal even shows it, but it was really, truly scary in a way and to look at. And now when you look at my journal, my tracking journal, there's no emotions written with it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm going to bed.
Right. That's it. So, the end.
But
yeah.
It's not that I thought about it, that I'm at the point now that I don't even have to think about it, that I that I don't have to think about that I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now I don't have it, and there's nothing attached to it. And if I did have it,
it's fine.
Yeah. And I move on. And then the next day I write it and I say like what it made me feel like afterwards, if it made me feel anything or if it didn't, or was it really worth it or wasn't it? And then the next day I go back and I look and I say, see, it really wasn't that worth it. And so the next day it's even easier to say I don't need it.
Yeah. And what's interesting is even though you had lost 80 pounds before and you were still unhappy, all of those diets didn't teach you, didn't give you the skills, didn't help you find a way to let go of those emotions.
No, 100% not.
Do you feel like the challenges in the fat loss fast track gave you the tools to be able to do that?
Yes, because it the way that it guides you is really truly focusing on one thing at a time, mm-hmm. which I still am working on.
Me too.
In the Facebook group when I wrote the other day, like four things that I was going to change this week, and you were like, no. Where's that one? And
that's right.
Or, you know, and I was like, oh my goodness, you're right. Just that one. I need one. And so that's what has made it so much easier to break it down to one thing that you focus on each week and then grow from there is how it's really just changed and how different it is from other things that I've done.
And I think it builds. Like, we have to kind of start with the easiest thing. And I know there are a lot of people, and you might be one of them starting out, that's like, this is it, week one, this is all we're doing. Like, come on, give me more.
I think actually week one was the hardest challenge you gave us. But now I walk around with my binder and I can't be anywhere without it. So.
Yeah, I totally get that. Where do you feel like you're still having a harder time or experiencing challenges or struggles? Where do you feel like you need the most effort or improvement at this point?
At this point where I am now, because I have lived so long, basically since I was a kid, with my weight and thinking about it and dealing with it and everything like that, the fact that I have I don't have that burden anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the thought of what I thought I should look like mm-hmm. or want to look like.
Mm-hmm. The expectations.
And now, yes. And now finding what it is that I'm really, truly seeking out. It's not a size right now for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a healthy relationship with food, which I think strongly with all the challenges that we've had, especially the last few weeks,
mm-hmm.
Even coming through Thanksgiving and that challenge and everything like that. I think that I'm coming closer to that goal of the relationship with food and mm-hmm. just enjoying it instead of every bite that I take thinking about, well, what's this going to lead to? Or mm-hmm. how many more bites after this am I going to take? So
right.
I think now my biggest thing is what is it that I really am seeking? What is it that I really was looking for all these years? Because I don't think it was food and it wasn't a size. So
I totally get that. I know I can relate to that because for me, I always felt like my weight had to be under a certain number. And if it was under that certain number, I would be happy. Or if the tag inside my pants was a certain number, I would be happy. And that can be an awkward thing to sort of adjust to, well, that number doesn't really mean anything. But at the same time, I know I want more for my life. I know I want more for my health. I know I want more for my body. But like, what is that thing? What mm-hmm. is that
yep.
more? One of the things that I think is really helpful is to sit down and say, what would my ideal day look like? And I'm talking painful detail, like every nitpicky thing. What time do you wake up? Where do you wake up? Where is your house? What do you have to do that day? Every single thing. And I know I've shared before that I go through this exercise with myself, and it's specific to what am I wearing in bed, right? When I wake up in the morning, what did I wear to bed the night before? What does my body look like and feel like? What time do I wake up? Do I wake up to an alarm clock or do I not need an alarm clock? What is the view out my window? Who is there? What do I eat, right? What are the first few hours of my day look like? And really crafting, what would that ideal be in as much detail as possible? And then saying, okay, where are the gaps between where I am now and where I want to be? And some of it might be related to very much your physical body, right? Like there are some parts of my body that I really want to keep seeing progress on so that, you know, there's this particular dress that I would love to wear, or, you know, I want to feel this particular way when I wake up in boy shorts and a sports bra, or whatever it is. Or it might be your lifestyle and the flexibility that you have to work at home or not work or have the means to work, whatever it is, identifying what would be the ideal, where are the gaps, and then saying, okay, one tiny step at a time, what's the next piece of that that I can tackle, right? One of those things for me that seems to be really, really common, especially in women, is confidence.
Yes.
I want to feel confident no matter how wide my hips are, no matter what size jeans I'm wearing, no matter if I've put on makeup or not, whether it's 9 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock in the morning, I want to feel confident. And then it is, okay, what kinds of things are getting in the way of my confidence? Sometimes that's a mindset or a thought process or a belief. And sometimes it's something physical about your body. Either way, you can tackle both. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yep.
And so it's always this evolving thing. And I think that the extent to which you can say, this is what I want as a mom, this is the kind of day I want to have with my kids, as a wife, this is the ideal day with my husband, in my work, this is the ideal day for my body. This is the ideal. This is how I want to feel in my skin. Okay, what's the next thing I can tackle? How do I get there? And what's today's effort towards that aim? And I think going through that on a very regular basis, I visualize my ideal day every single day. But the reality is that it evolves, that it changes, that as we grow, as we become more self-aware, as we make progress, we tweak and adjust it, and we should. But I would say for you, starting there and saying, what would be amazing? What would be satisfying as a mom? What would be satisfying as a wife? What would be totally fulfilling for myself? Where are the gaps? What do I want to tackle first? And how do I tackle it today?
Right. And the key there, too, is also the one step at a time.
Yes.
Because I think when you look at it in such a huge picture, that's when it also falls down, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the one step at a time, because I think that there are a lot of, like, work, body, family, like, a lot of things and a lot of areas that I'm like, what is the perfect day? Even just thinking while you were talking. And each one probably has a handful of things that I could say that I want to change in it. And, but it's not to look at it in the whole picture of, oh my gosh, I have 30 things that I want to change. Well, today I can do this and change it.
And the one thing that I think is paramount for anybody with any goal is the disciplined pursuit of patience. I don't have to make progress in every area of my life at the same time. Sometimes when we're taking on a new endeavor or in a new relationship or our kids are really young, it's totally okay to say, in my disciplined pursuit of patience, I am going to put my eggs in the basket of raising my kids. I'm going to be more patient with my journey with my body. It doesn't mean avoidance and disrespect of the body, but we don't have to be a jack of all freaking trades. I think that is a myth. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we have a finite amount of energy and focus. And so if you give 10% to this and 10% to this and 10% to that, you're going to be exhausted, but you're not going to be moving forward very fast.
Right.
And so identifying, even on a daily basis, One day, you might need to put all your focus and attention on your kids. Another day, you might have a little bit more margin to take care of your body. The key is that it's not an extremes. It's not I'm either caring for my body or I'm totally off the rails. It's not love for self or disrespect of self. It's just, all right, status quo. What does that look like? What's the middle of the road choice here while I pursue this other thing? Being patient with the process and understanding I can't tackle everything all at once and I don't have to.
Right. Absolutely. Yep.
Let me ask you this. I know for sure that there are people listening going, I'm kind of in that boat where I've spent a ton of money on diets and they haven't really worked. And so that's why I'm telling myself no to the fat loss fast track, because I know me and I waste money on this stuff. What would be your two cents to the person who's on the fence about the fat loss fast track?
I really, you are so connected that at any time that you feel like you aren't going to listen to the podcast or that something's not working, shooting you an email or on the Facebook group and your response back is just so key to it that it's really hard to kind of fail at this. I personally feel even if it's not you that's responding right back, the group is just so amazing.
Yeah.
And they're amazing people and we're all from different walks of life.
We've got men, we've got women, yeah, we've got people in all countries, we've got moms and dads, yeah.
It really is. It's very different. And the fact that it's so exciting and it truly is so new every week that some of the weeks I never not did a challenge, but some of the weeks I was like, when I reflected back at the end of the week on my week, I was like, well, I could have done that a little bit better, but I never gave up because I was so excited to what was going to come next. And you never know what's going to come next. And like the morning one, I'm still shocked every day that my alarm clock goes off 2 hours earlier than before this challenge every day. And I'm loving that time.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Right.
Who would have thought? Really?
You know, it's interesting. You make a good point. Sorry to interject, but I never really, the way that I do the weekly challenges is really to build on skills. But you make such an excellent point that that way it never gets old. It's not like you commit to a 90-day diet and the rules never change. Like every week is something different. And so you don't sort of fizzle out. And there is that excitement. I think that's a really great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
You really can't, because each week is truly something. Yes, they build on each other because you've set a different foundation for X, Y, and Z. But even like I've gone back and listened to previous ones and I'm like, wow, week two has so much to do with week nine.
Yeah.
But I would never have related them back in week two. Mm-hmm. You know, so it definitely is something so new every week. And the things that you can pick up from week to week do all go together. But each week you feel like, oh, I've got something fresh to do this week. Mm-hmm. I have something so new to do this week. I have something new to focus on. And yes, maybe last week I wasn't 150% all into X, Y, or Z, but I can still work on that. Mm-hmm. And this week I can work on what's new too, because I have the foundation from last week. I kind of know what I have to do. I know what I didn't do. I know what I need to work on. So that's kind of like can just roll into the next week. It doesn't need to be my, and then the week that we're in is like your sole focus.
Right.
With the other ones that are just now habits and routines and enjoyment, really.
Right. And I think too, having one challenge a week helps people not get overwhelmed. Oftentimes when we start, and I think you can probably relate to this if you've done as many diets as I have, sometimes you just feel like, what is this? This is so much work and effort and so much change. But doing one thing at a time really makes it more manageable and sustainable.
I truly have never in the 9 weeks felt like this was a lot of change. And I have changed so much.
Isn't it interesting that all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Isn't it? It really is. I truly, truly never felt like I was changing like drastically, but mm-hmm. I have changed drastically in so many different areas. It really, how it all goes together. And like you said, it's in previous ones, you've said that they're not all the same and you kind of go by the group and see what we kind of need by different feedback. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's key too, because like we had Thanksgiving last week, so yeah. we needed a little extra, little extra motivation, not cheerleading motivation though.
Right. I'm not a cheerleader. That's for sure. So if
and
you,
I thank you for that.
Yeah, it definitely, that's not my style. If you could go back in time, say 10, 11 weeks when you were considering the fat loss fast track, what would you say to yourself as you were making that decision with what you know now?
Oh, that it's not even an option.
Yeah.
We have to, I would say to everyone in my house, we're figuring out how I'm going to do this instead of me figuring it out on my own.
Right.
We're figuring it out and I'm going to do this.
Right.
It's not an option. It's yeah. not, it wouldn't have been an option because, and I don't think, I truly, honestly, don't even think my family would have let it been an option.
Really? Knowing what they know now.
Knowing what they know now, I don't think that they would let it be an option either.
Tell me a little bit more about that as we wrap up. Like, what is it that has changed for your kids and for your husband based on this?
Well, a quick example is my daughter used to have this major anxiety of getting to her activities on time. Mm. And prior to this, I was like, oh gosh, why stop crying? Stop being upset. Why do you have all this anxiety about being on time? And now looking at it, I realized because what was I doing? Everything that I was doing, let's go. We're going to be late. You're going to be late. You're going to miss this. Da, da, da. And I would get all worked up and I would have anxiety over yeah. it. Mm-hmm. So one day during one of the weeks challenged, I picked her up and she starts hysterically crying. We're going to be late. I don't want to go. I'm going to be late. This whole thing. And I looked at her and I go, we're going to get there. And she kind of like stopped and stared at me. And I said, we're going to get there. And if we don't, we got bigger problems than if we're late for gymnastics. I was like, so we're going to get there. And I said, and it doesn't matter when we get there because we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. And so the whole way there, we're chanting, we're going to get there, you know, aww. And we're like going on and whatever. So now even she'll look at me and when she starts to feel anxious about like getting somewhere in time, she's like, Mom, we're going to get there. Aww. And I was like, you're right. We're going to get there. So even things like that, I know it's not like a significant thing.
No, that totally is. It totally is.
Watching her have anxiety and wondering where she was getting it from. Well, she was getting the anxiety from me.
Yeah.
And the way that I was reacting to the situation of us being late.
Yeah.
Because I was giving all of that energy right to her.
Yeah.
And so now the fact that we're all just like, oh, we're going to get there. What? Mm. If not, we're really in trouble. But yeah, no, we're going to get there. You know, and we make a joke out of it and it's awesome.
I love that.
With my husband, it really truly has changed a lot without getting way too deep in all this stuff. But I truly... it has given us freedom. That is my whole word because honestly, it truly has. I would drive home from work with anxiety and thinking about different situations mm-hmm. that weren't even happening. Mm-hmm. What was I doing? I was wasting so much time.
The things
and
you feared that might happen or worried that might, yeah.
Like, I felt like, oh, he's going to be mad at me that I, or he's going to react this way that I'm asking to go to yoga tonight or mm-hmm. go to CrossFit or whatever the heck I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And instead of me, like, coming up with this whole scenario and then walking in the house and
already being defensive, yeah,
that he was going to say whatever, now I walk in the house and I'm like, hey, do you mind if, you know, can you do this part and I'll do this part or can we work this out? Mm. And every single time he's like, yeah, sure. How about I just do, or how about I, you know, like it's actually, we're a team again and where we weren't
amazing.
Before, but it was truly, it wasn't that we weren't a team. It was that I wasn't the team because I was truly just creating all these problems.
Mm-hmm. I was manufacturing stuff that wasn't real. Yeah. Yeah.
And so within the challenges of all of that, that you have given over the last 9 weeks, all that has changed for me. And I do have to add, even though the scale doesn't matter, I am down 8 pounds.
Yay! That's awesome. Congratulations.
And I also have stopped weighing myself. Oh. So the only reason why I know that is because the first day I weighed myself, which I was an everyday weigher, and now I don't weigh myself really at all, and because it was doing no good for me, so I've gotten rid of that. But I do know that I'm down 8 pounds and it feels great.
I'm so excited for you. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to share a little bit of your story, because I have no doubt that there are so many people listening that can relate to either having lost weight but still being unhappy, or feeling like there's just unnecessary but constant tension and stress in their homes, or a constant wasting of money trying to seek these solutions that are really just the same thing that look different. So I'm so thrilled that you made the decision, that you robbed Peter to pay Paul, found a way to take care of yourself, emailed me and said, hey, what do you think? Because you could have just said, nope, I can't afford it. I've already wasted the money. But you said, what do you think? And you gave it that thought and you invested in yourself. And you know, one of the things you said is it's really hard to fail. It's easy to fail if you just quit and don't show up, but you showed up and you show up every week and you read the emails and you watch the webinars. And so you deserve 1000% of the credit. And honestly, I'm just so grateful for your openness, for your willingness to share your story. And I'm just thrilled to be a small part of your journey. It's just such a blessing to me.
I just have to say that if for anybody, truly, they are important. You're important. And I'm important, and my happiness, even though I have 2 children and they mean the world to me, and my husband and my dog and everything else in my life, is so important, but I'm also important. And so to make sure that I wake up every day and realize how important I am, and that if I don't take care of myself, nothing else is going to be able to be taken care of.
That's right.
So it's so key. And this whole process has really, really, truly opened my eyes to it. And I'm thankful. And yes, I've done the work, but you've given me the path, which was very much needed. And I thank you for that, because it means a lot.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't wait to spend another 3 weeks with you, because the last 3 weeks are going to be a great 3 weeks.
They're going to fly.
I know, they are. Thank you so much, Amanda. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
That was so real and so powerful. And from my perspective, so hopeful, right? Because I can completely relate to feeling like I could have bought a very nice car with all the money I've spent on the results I didn't get or the results I didn't keep. I think it's so encouraging to hear that it doesn't have to be hard, that everything can change, that you don't always have to be obsessed with food and emotional and guilty over the choices you make or you don't make. So thank you again to Amanda for sharing your story, for being so honest, and for giving us hope that that is totally possible. If you want to attend this totally free webinar, hang out with me. You know you want to. You know you want to. Go to primalpotential.com/December and get all the details about that free training that I am doing on how to lose weight for the last time. A lot of the strategies that Amanda alluded to will be covered. primalpotential.com/December, or just go to the show notes page for this episode and I will link it up there as well. You guys have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.